Hello and welcome to the first episode of The Cullip, our podcast and review show. I am Jacob Cullip, as you have joined me on the Jacob Cullip YouTube channel, and today on the podcast we will be discussing my favourite album of all time. It is Oasis's Definitely Maybe, released on the 29th of August 1994 by Creation Records. It was produced by Mark Coyle, Owen Morris, David Batchelor, and of course the man himself, Noel Gallagher. And I have to say, this album is absolutely amazing. I just love this album, to be honest, ever since I first heard it and became an Oasis fan. And was it? It's whenever you see like a top list of an Oasis albums, it's always the top two are Definitely Maybe or Morning Glory, and not in that specific order, but probably my order, to be honest. But yeah, they're the two of the best albums in British history, to be honest. But we'll discuss what's the story in Morning Glory later on in the next episode, but today we will discuss Definitely Maybe. Well, it's just, it's nothing I can say really. It's just, from the I love this album, from the first song to the last, it just flows beautifully. You know, like a perfect Harry Potter, for example, just absolutely flows through the pages and you just can't stop listening to it. And was from the first song, Rock and Roll Star, all the way to the last song, Married with Children. And it's there's so many good songs on here. You've got hard rock songs like, you know, Bring It On Down, which is personally one of my favourite songs upon the album. And then you've got youth culture of the time with songs as Cigarettes and Alcohol, which is a very misleading title for some people and probably why Oasis are a bit controversial. But anyway, let's get on to the facts of this album. It sold 8 million copies worldwide, which is staggering for a debut album. And at the time in Britain, it was the best-selling debut album of all time in Britain. It's just amazing. And of course, everyone knows the famous cover of Definitely Maybe. All the band members with Liam, Noel, Bonehead, Gwigsy, and of course Tony McCarroll, which everyone... was very half and half of Tony McCarroll and Alan White. Obviously, Alan White did Wizard, was Stony Morning Glory, all the way to the Hindu Times as the drummer of Oasis. And yeah, it's very split on Tony McCarroll. Some people love him, some people don't like him. Of course, Noel kicked him out after they released Some Might Say. And I personally prefer Alan White. He's a very good drummer, but Tony is good in his own right. And we'll discuss Tony McCarroll later on in the album. And yeah, obviously going back to the cover, which we've just gone to other stories there. Going back to the cover, which obviously Liam on the floor, then you've got Noel playing the acoustic guitar, then you've got Bonehead, and then you've got Gwigsy, and then you've got Tony McCarroll looking at the TV. There's all lots of different features in here. You've got obviously the acoustic guitar, then you've got Bonehead's guitar right at the end, and Gwigsy standing right at the end of the window, and Tony McCarroll sitting down watching the TV, and of course, Liam, my favourite, literally lying on the floor. Absolutely. It's mad to see with this album cover, was just literally picking up the vinyl here. Obviously, people listened to it very differently back then. It was CDs of the time. I've got it on vinyl, personally. And yeah, this album cover is absolutely amazing. And then I open up the Wizard vinyl, and you've got the picture of Liam and Noel and all the band members outside. Then you've got Columbia, the vinyl record, Wizard, a Columbia demo written by Noel Gallagher, which is quite staggering, really. Columbia, obviously, one of the first that they did. And obviously, with the story of Oasis, everyone's heard it over so many thousand times. Obviously, Supersonic, the documentary, which I recommend. If you haven't ever heard Oasis' story, I recommend Wizard to watch Supersonic, which is currently on Netflix right now. It covers the story of them signing by Alan McGee of Creation Records, and then it goes from Definitely Maybe, the time before Definitely Maybe as well, all the way to Nebworth, which is their most famous concert. And yeah, we'll discuss Nebworth, that is on the next album, which is What's Stony Morning Glory. But going back to Definitely Maybe, obviously, this was the foundations that built Oasis into you could say they're more popular in Britain, but most of the world do know who the Gallagher brothers are. And yeah, we'll get on to Wizard. Before we get on to Wizard, the first Wizard, onto the track list, I should say. It's a fun fact that the band was sued $500,000 by Coca-Cola for the song Shaker Maker, which is the second song on the album. And it sounds, well, I have to say, it sounds so, obviously Noel's famous for quote-unquote stealing songs or being like the Beatles. There are comparisons that they are like the Beatles, especially in, do you know what I mean, where they mention, you know, Fool on the Hill. So many Wizard Beatles references, but I am a Beatles fan as well, but I do like Oasis. Wizard, but personally, I don't really care, Wizard, if they have Beatles references, because everyone, Wizard, knows the Beatles, and everyone wants to be the Beatles, because ever since then, has anyone ever reached their heights? Oasis, Oasis is my favourite band, but I don't think they're anywhere near the Beatles. But moving on again, and we go into, yep, so they were sued $500,000 by Coca-Cola for the song Shaker Maker, because it sounds very similar to the advert at the time, I Like to Teach the World to Sing. It is very similar, because with like the first Wizard mention on the album on Shaker Maker, it's like, I like to be somebody else and not know where I'd be, and it's like, I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, which is the Coca-Cola one. So it is very, very, very similar. But yeah, talking about the songs, let's move on to the track list. And yeah, was it the first song of the album is Rock and Roll Star. Was very good song, I have to say. Was it obviously the first part of the song, it's like, I live my life in the sea, there ain't no easy way out, the day's moving just too fast for me. Absolutely amazing start to the song. And it's just, as Noel said, it's a song about, was it moving away from the city and making money, which obviously, and then you want to be a rock and roll star. Who doesn't want to be a rock and roll star, to be honest? And Liam's vocals on this song are absolutely staggering. They're amazing. You can't say anything else about it. Was it? It's not my favourite song on the album, but I do appreciate Rock and Roll Star. We'll see, all the songs were written by Noel. And yeah, was it played quite. It's played during the Definitely Maybe times. I don't really remember it being played after Definitely Maybe times, sort of all the concerts I've watched of Oasis. But yeah, it is a Oasis in their prime. And I consider Oasis prime to be from 94 to 98. So that's Definitely Maybe, What's Dawn in Morning Glory, Be Here Now, to The Master Plan. And yeah, the next song on the album, as we've discussed, Shaker Maker, very controversial for all the money reasons, but a very good song. Was it? I saw a clip of Noel the other day saying he doesn't remember when he wrote it or why he wrote it. It's much about nonsense, isn't it? You've got Mr. Clean, Mr. Ben, all of. It's basically an advertisement song, isn't it? It's like, Mr. Clean and Mr. Ben are living in my loft. It's quite a funny line. The most notable part of that is, I like to be somebody else and not know where I'd be. I like to build myself a house. Out of plasticine, just remember that now. I haven't got all the lyrics literally written or was in my notes. I literally mostly all remember them. But yeah, I absolutely love that part of the song. And it's not their best song. Rock and Roll Star's definitely a better song than Shaker Maker. And then we move on to the third song of the album. Absolutely amazing. Live Forever. You can't say anything about this song. It's just staggering. I remember the story, which is in Supersonic, and it's with Bonehead discussing that when he first heard Was it Live Forever, when Noel played it to them, he said, you did not write that song. And he's like, I did. It just shows, this was before they were signed to Creation Records, and everyone could notice what a song this was going to be. And the first single was Supersonic, which we will get onto later. Then the second single was Shaker Maker. Was it Shaker Maker? I'm trying to think now. Was it Shaker Maker? I'm confused. I think it was Shaker Maker. And then obviously Live Forever is when people started, obviously the first song, Supersonic, which is amazing, but it didn't chart too well, which was their first single. Then you got with Shaker Maker, which charted quite good. And then you got Live Forever, which people started to notice, we need to take this band seriously. And these were released before the album even came out. So Live Forever became a cult classic before the album even came out. But I still think this song does not get recognition, was it, for being obviously people love Live Forever, but which you see on like this. I even checked Spotify the other day. It's not even in the top five of charting. It's like, with obviously you have Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger. They're great songs, but Live Forever has to be in that category. When people, the casual like fan, obviously you've got the hardcore fans of Oasis, and then the people obviously who look into them, which is under hardcore. Then you've got the casual. The casuals just want mostly listen to What's the Story in Morning Glory, which, you know, obviously has Wizard, Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger. Then when you check like the Spotify and stuff, Wizard, Live Forever's not even in the top five. This song does get recognition, but I don't think it gets as much praise as all the other songs like Wizard. Definitely, maybe that's not a song. Then Wonderwall and Wizard, Don't Look Back in Anger and Wizard, and even Stop Crying Your Heart Out, which has more recognition than Live Forever I've seen on like charts and stuff. But I do like Stop Crying Your Heart Out, which is not on the album, that's on Heaving Chemistry. But yeah, Live Forever, absolutely amazing song. Was it maybe, I don't really want to know how your garden grows, because I just want to fly. That's just the standout lyric. And then another one, Maybe I Will Never Be All the Things That I Want to Be. This song, was it brings your mood up, and obviously was it cheers me up quite a lot of the time, because it just shows life is absolutely worth living, and also shows we don't want to go, do we? We just want life to live forever, but as everyone says, there's always a beginning and an ending to life. And then we go, which is the second side of the vinyl, then we have Was It Up in the Sky. I do, obviously I love every song on this album, but Up in the Sky I think is my second to least favourite song on the album. I like it. It's very upbeat, which most Oasis songs are, but it's not my favourite song on the album, as I should say. With obviously notable lyrics say, "Hey you up in the sky, learning to fly, tell me how high." The lyrics just don't stand out to me as much. Obviously that one does. But it's a good song. As I've said, I love every single song on this album for different reasons. But I have to say, it's not much I can say about it, about Up in the Sky. But it's not terrible, but yeah, it's not their greatest song. And then we go on to Columbia, which some people don't even like this song. I absolutely love it. It was first was brought to as an instrumental, and then was it Noel wrote lyrics to the song. And obviously people wouldn't think they're greatest, that's the greatest lyrics he's ever wrote. Obviously, like, the first part of, if you've seen in the Wasted documentary, they say, like, the first part of There We Were, Here We Are, and then they're doing Live For Accents, that's quite funny. It's like, There We Were, Now There We Are. Every time I think of that lyric, I just think of them saying it in that accent. Obviously, no offence to all the Liverpudlians. And was it, yeah, it's not the greatest song in the world, but I love it, if I'm honest, Columbia. It's very psychedelic, obviously, like, this is Confusion, Am I Confusing You? This is Peculiar, We Don't Want to Feel You, and that's just amazing. And then it's quite a long song, as most Oasis songs are. Along to the end, from the middle right to the end, it's quite long, but I quite enjoy it. It's a little jam for people who want to practice Columbia. And obviously, they got introduced to Columbia at Nebworth, which was his first part of the Oasis documentary, and I absolutely love that mix. Well, it's live, but I absolutely love it at Wizard and Nebworth. It's just, what a song to come on to. Yeah, if I could pick, like, a fan-made concert, I'd definitely put Columbia right at the start. And it's just quite a good song. Then we have the bonus song, which is on the vinyl version, which wasn't included, which is Sad Song, which is actually still performed by Liam now. But I think it's alright. It's personally not my favourite song. I usually tend to skip. I usually tend to end with it on the vinyl. But when I like to listen to it sometimes, obviously called Sad Song. It's not the most pleasant song to listen to, but I have to say, was it? It's quite a good by, was it Noel, I have to say, but not my favourite on the album, which is still performed by Liam to this day, which is, I quite enjoy it when Liam does it. But yeah, overall, not my favourite song on the album. And then we got move on to side three, which is Supersonic. What can I say? Well, I can't believe when I looked into this, it didn't even chart high, Supersonic. And I'm like, obviously, it was their first song released, and obviously, first songs don't always tend to release well, but excuse me. The lyrics of this song are absolutely staggering. You need to be yourself, you can't be no one else. What an absolute positive message to bring to people. Like whenever people feel down or questioning themselves, for whoever they are, they're literally like, they can listen to this song and be like, yeah, I'm actually, it's a term, I'm feeling supersonic. And like, whenever I feel like, whenever I'm in a good mood, like, you don't use, the words, was it happy or, you know, great. When like, you walk up to people, I'm like, I'm absolutely feeling supersonic today. It is probably in the dictionary. But yeah, feel supersonic, I feel absolutely great. Moving on, like, it's just, obviously the story of Noel writing this album, they'll record him, Bring It On Down, and obviously that was the famous incident between him and Tony McCarroll, and obviously he wasn't doing the drums right. Then he went into a back room with Noel Gallagher and wrote this song, and he said however long it was it people to eat a Chinese, he wrote it, so I don't think it was that long that he wrote it, but obviously, songwriters will say the most, their great songs will come to them naturally, and the more, you know, not the greatest songs that don't tend to do well don't come quickly. So, and obviously, Supersonic is an absolutely great song, and they performed it all the time. It's a firm fan favourite, and I love it as well. It's just, obviously, people will look at the lyrics and just be like, oh, not. Which obviously Oasis have a bad reputation, and they're saying, oh yeah, but their songs don't have their reputation that they are. But they're actually really positive. The songs are positive, and like, well, they can't be positive. And one of the songs that is song that's criticised on Be Here Now, which is All Around the World, and people are like, oh yeah, it's two Beatles. Yeah, it's very, very, very Beatles, which I actually like. But All Around the World, they're like, oh, it's such a positive message. And like, they're the bad boys of rock and roll. And I'm like, yeah, they are the bad boys. But if you've never listened to an Oasis song, you won't know the positive messages that they actually spread. So obviously Supersonic is, as I said, you need to be yourself. You can't be no one else. I'm feeling supersonic. Give me gin and tonic. You can have it all, but how much do you want it? Which is absolutely amazing. It's obviously testing yourself as well. It's like, how much do you want it? Which most teachers should actually say to people. They're like, how much do you actually want to do it? How much do you actually want to push yourself? Which is another message that actually brings to young people. Like, do you actually want to be the person you want to be remembered for? Or do you actually just don't want to be the person you want to be? And it's such a positive song. As I keep saying, it's positivity central, mostly on this album, except Sad Song, which wasn't included on the original. And then we move on to Bring It On Down. Oh, love this song. Obviously, I mentioned the incident with Tony McCarroll, but the mix is by Owen Morris. Obviously, this album was recorded several times because it was in the Clear Matches Studios, Sawmills in Cornwall, the Pink Museum in Liverpool, and of course the Matrix in London. Obviously, they had to record it four times because they couldn't get the mix right, especially to this song, Bring It On Down, which I'll talk about in a minute. But then, obviously, Mark Coyle, obviously a friend of Noel Gallagher during his time as a roadie for the Inspiral Carpets, obviously knew each other, and they kept mixing it, and it just didn't sound right. And then they got Owen Morris, and Owen did an absolutely incredible job mixing this album, especially the first song, Rock and Roll Star. As they mentioned in Supersonic, when they first played that on the mixing desk, they absolutely blew them away. It was just blasting everywhere. And I have to say, it's an absolutely amazing mix by Owen, which was very, very underrated. But which is obviously what makes the album it is, and why people love it. And then going back to Bring It On Down, a very good song, which is it's a very youthful song, as I have to say. Obviously, the lyrics... Alan McGee, obviously there, who signed Oasis to Creation Records, absolutely love this song because of the message, like, you're the outcast, you're the undercast. You're the outcast. I can't remember it off by heart, this one, all the time. So you're the outcast, you're the outlaw. I don't want to sing it because I can't sing. So you're the outcast, you're the underclass, but you don't care, but you're living fast. Finally, there we go, got it. It's a great message to which young people are saying, but they don't care, but you're living fast. And obviously, people, the outcasts, most people consider themselves as outcasts, but like the real outcasts, obviously they're shunned away by the people. And you could say Oasis were outcasts, or where they lived in Manchester. But yeah, which is an absolutely amazing song. It's punk rock. Obviously, they love the Sex Pistols. I'm not the biggest fan of the Sex Pistols, but I absolutely love Bring It On Down. And which, yeah, it's a very punk rock song. Which, obviously, as I've said, punk is not my favourite. But I can never skip the song on the album, especially the intro, and then right at the end, obviously, another long song. I just can't turn it off. I could want, obviously, the problem is, especially on Be Here Now, the songs were so long. I could want this continue to age for ages. It's absolutely staggering. Now we move on to the Real Youth album. The Real Youth album. Yeah, this is a youth album. The Real Youth Anthem, as I was going to say, Cigarettes and Alcohol, and this is puts absolutely people beyond the song, like, oh, it's about cigarettes and alcohol. But yeah, obviously it's about cigarettes and alcohol. It is about cigarettes and alcohol. But yeah, obviously it's a very youth culture song, as Bring It On Down was. Obviously, it was in my imagination too. Yeah, I can't remember that part. Was like, is it worth the aggravation to find yourself a job when there's nothing worth working for? That is an absolutely amazing lyric, and that's what young people like tend to think when going for jobs, especially with that. Is it worth the aggravation to find yourself a job when no one there's nothing worth working for? It's a staggering lyric, and like as a young person myself, we always question, is this job actually gonna be worth it in the end? And that's what the song is saying. And obviously, I love the lyric, you could wait for a lifetime to spend your days in the sunshine, which is very good. It's just, oh, I love all the songs in this album. Obviously, Up in the Sky and Sad Song are not my favourite, but Cigarettes and Alcohol is definitely up there. It's another Oasis classic, and I don't think this gets enough recognition, especially by the casual fans. But yeah, with Cigarettes and Alcohol, definitely up in my top five for this album, which I will rank later. And then we move on to Dixie's Dinner, which is definitely the worst song on the album. Even was it's about was it the story of this song was they had a friend called Dixie, and then he just splatted out some random was it stuff, and then Noel wrote it into the lyrics. Even Dixie hates it when they interviewed him for this. It's definitely Oasis is one, excuse me, one of Oasis's worst songs. It's not great by the imagination, but the best lyric definitely on this album is, obviously, these could be the best days of our lives, but I don't think we'll be living very wise. Another great lyric, and great to young people as well as myself. This that I could talk, yeah, I should talk about definitely the youth culture, as I've said, with Bring It On Down and Cigarettes and Alcohol. It brings the youth culture to Oasis, and they're like, yeah, we can listen to these messages, and like we can actually, you know, believe these lyrics, especially Supersonic as well. And obviously, I believe all these lyrics, and they're just absolutely staggering. And Noel Gallagher was obviously one of the best songwriters of his generation, but I don't think he's recognised enough by people, and people really need to listen to his solo stuff as well, especially his first, which I will actually review for you guys, which is Noel Gallagher's Highflying Birds, which is his first album, which is absolutely staggering. I love it. One of my favourite albums of all time. But yeah, moving back to the youth culture of this album, and like, if you're a youth and you're listening to this, which I want everyone to listen to this, but if you're a youth and you're wondering what album should I listen to or what I should get into, listen to Oasis, and even the Beatles as well. But absolutely listen to this album because you'll absolutely love it, and then you'll connect to the lyrics. And was it especially when you're like 17? Was 18, was in just getting into work, and you're literally just like, oh, is it even worth working? And then you can put on Cigarettes and Alcohol, and you'll be like, yeah, this is how I'm feeling at the moment. And then I'm like, perhaps I'm not alone in this world, and other people actually experience stuff like this. And then you can connect to people through this song, and that's what's amazing about songs, they actually connect people. It's like, obviously, they're like a story. It brings people together, was it? So concerts, and then was it, you bring that together, and they play this song, and you can sing your heart out, and then just feel the rhythm of this song. And that's what's amazing about albums and artists. And they do not get enough recognition by people. Obviously, people love music, but was it, songs and albums do have a big part in your life and a big part to play in who you're going to be. And I think looking into the future, this album is definitely going to be a big part of who I am going to be in the future. Then moving on, obviously talking about Dixie's Dinner, well, going back from Dixie, obviously he doesn't like it either. He talks about strawberries and cream and having lasagna. It's absolutely balderdash, this song. It's crap. It's rubbish. But with it, obviously, I love it for maybe some of the right reasons and the wrong reasons. But yeah, it's a crap song. But I don't know why I like it, but I do like it. And then, was it personally my favourite song on the album, Slide Away? Not released a single. It should have been. Absolutely amazing, this song. Was it, if Shaker Maker gets released, why can't Slide Away be released? The song, was it, this, the lyrics in this album, obviously it's a love song, and obviously the people that you, was it, break up with, or just not feeling it with anymore. It's just, and then also it can be, was it a good relationship song as well? So it can be good and bad for relationships. But yeah, when listening to this song, I automatically connected to it. It's an absolutely staggering song. And I can't believe it wasn't even released as a single. But yeah, even was it, yeah, was Andy Bell, who later joined Oasis, was it, we love this song. And he said, what makes a great album is a great song that's not released as a single. And this is absolutely definitely a great song for the album. And it should have been released as a single. Forget Shaker Maker, if I'm honest. And put Slide Away as the second single. And perhaps it might have done well. And it's a great rock ballad. Obviously, you're trying to think of an Oasis song to compare it to. Obviously, I do like Don't Go Away, which is on Be Here Now. But it doesn't have, which is a rock, but another rock ballad. Excuse me. It's another rock ballad on Be Here Now, which is Don't Go Away. It's a good song, but But Slide Away is absolutely on a different level to always all the other rock ballads, and I definitely would put this in my top five Oasis songs of all time, and definitely number one on this album. Is the obviously going into the chorus, like, now that you're mine, we'll find a way of chasing the sun. Let me be the one who. It was just absolutely amazing, this song. I just can't praise it enough. This is definitely my favourite song on the album. And I want to hear your guys' is top, was it, songs on this album. And what's the worst songs in this album. Remember to comment down below. And to obviously give me recommendations of what to review next. Because I'll review absolutely anything. And then we go into the last song of the album, which is Married With Children. Staggering song. What a way to end this album. Obviously, an acoustic song. They recorded this in, was it, a bedroom in Manchester. Forgot whose house it was. Have to look into that. Remember, Wizard guys, to look into this album. The story of this album is absolutely amazing. Obviously, Married With Children, a very slow Wizard song acoustically. And the lyrics are very, very good, obviously. There's no need to say you're sorry, goodbye, I'm going home. It's obviously Wizard not going well with a relationship with your partner. But I'm going to say, even though then I'll Wizard come back to you. Yeah, so even, yeah, I can't remember all the lyrics. My mind's not that brilliant, but I remember some. But Married With Children, most people will turn off after Slide Away. I remember first listening to this, and I'm like, oh, that's it after Slide Away, because it slowly fades out. And then you're like, that's it. And then I suddenly heard an acoustic guitar, and I'm like, oh my God, there's one last song. And then, Wizard, I'm so glad I didn't turn off, because I absolutely love Married With Children. Obviously, it's going to put Wizard people off. I'm like, oh, it's an acoustic slow song and people won't like it. But it's a very, 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 very good song. I can't praise it high enough. And yeah, that's all the songs on the album. And then I'm going to rank my top five? I think I'm not. Nah, I should rank all the songs on the album. So So there are 12 songs on the boat. This is the bonus album. I'll do it from 11. Number 11, have to put Dixie's Dinner. Not a great song. You could have put Half the World Away on here. I'm like, oh, that's another discussion I had to talk about. Was it Half the World Away and all the songs that should have been on this album, which I will discuss later. See, number 11, I have to put Dixie's Dinner. Not a great song. Not great lyrics, even though there's one notable. And number 10, I would have to put Up in the Sky. Not great. Definitely not, was it the greatest Oasis song, but it's not a bad song in the slightest. But you could definitely replace Up in the Sky, was it, with another of the B-sides. Then this is when I'm going to start struggling. Was it obviously Dixie's Dinner and Up in the Sky in a different category in themselves, and then I'll absolutely struggle to put all the other songs. This could be a whole 10 minutes of me trying to rank the songs. Then I put Columbia, even though I absolutely love it. So it's 11, which is Dixie's Dinner. 10, I'd put Up in the Sky. 9, I put Columbia. 8, I'd say Married with Children. Good song, but could be better. Then that's 8. So then 7, I'd put Cigarettes and Alcohol. 6, Bring It On Down. 5... Oh, now, what was one am I talking about? Put Shaker Maker. Right, strike that, reverse that. Put Wizard. So, number 11, I put Dixie's Dinner. My mind keeps changing all the time of this album, which makes a great album. Like, you just can't think of where to put all these songs. But the bottom two are definitely Dixie's Dinner. And then Up in the Sky. So, that's Wizard 10. That's 11, 10. Number 9, discussing again, Shaker Maker at number 9, number 8, Columbia, number 7, Bring It On Down, I'll do it from, 11 to 5, so, it just keeps ever changing. You guys keep hearing my frustration because there's some with the songs in this album I absolutely love. So then you've got, so let's strike that, reverse that again. Then we've got number 11, which is Dixie's Dinner. Then 10, Up in the Sky. 9, you've got Shaker Maker. 8, Columbia. 7. Married with Children. 6, Bring It On Down. 5, Supersonic. So then got all the songs in there. Then my top 4 will be Rock and Roll Star. And yeah, Rock and Roll Star. So hard to rank this album. You know, I'll just do my number 1. Was it top 2? Definitely top 2. Move on. So I put those in order. Forget 3. Who doesn't even like the number 3. And then so my top 2 would definitely be Live Forever. And so rank Cigarette. Forget all that. I'd say Cigarettes and Alcohol. And number 2. And then I put Live Forever at number 1. Nothing beats Live Forever. Nothing can. So yeah, that's all the songs ranked, or at least tried to rank without me getting angry, because I literally can't do a ranking, guys. So if you want a ranking in the future for a video, I'm like, I literally can't do a ranking because my mind, it's ever changing with this album. And yeah, that is all my favourite songs on this album. Now the next thing I'm going to talk about is the songs that should have been on this album. So I've said I don't like Dixie's Dinner and Up in the Sky, and you could replace these songs. Which is the downside of Noel Gallagher. Like, his B-sides are absolutely amazing and should have been on the album. Some of the songs should have been on the album. Definitely Maybe, or Stony Morning Glory, and Be Here Now. And they would have been absolutely, the top 2 class, regardless of the songs. But Be Here Now, you could definitely put some of the songs on there. Also, the songs of the time period of Definitely Maybe. You've got Fade Away, which they performed at Glastonbury in 94, and I love Fade Away. It's an absolutely amazing song. Was it another great song to put to young people while we're living the dreams we have as children of Fade Away, which obviously is the growing up element of life as well. All the things you think about during the time when you were young and they fade away. You don't want them to. And especially when getting introduced to this song was the first look. When I was young, I thought I had my own key. I knew exactly what I wanted to be. And that's obviously when I was young, I wanted to be a train driver. And it's not obviously in my mind at the moment. I still remember it because it's going to be a part of my life. But that's the brilliance of this song. It makes you remember what you wanted to be when you were younger. And we like to reflect on life a lot, especially people now are like, oh yeah, we like to look at the albums of old. Obviously, the albums of new are good, but obviously they weren't the original Wizard albums of the time. But yeah, going back to Fade Away, you could just connect to this song in any way. So as I've said, music of that Wizard time. Wizard music at that time was obviously more, think about life, obviously it's more club music today, and I do like music today, but it's not as good as it is back in 94 and all the other periods. But Fade Away is a very good reflection song of life and of anything in general, and as I've talked about, music, so that you could reflect this song on music if you even wanted to. And another song that should have been, Half the World Away. Everyone's heard of this song, Half the World Away. Obviously, people have covered this song a lot. And I can't believe Noel didn't put this song. I remember putting a story the other day on my Instagram. Follow my Instagram, @Jacob_Cullip_. Very weird, I know. But go and give it a follow, and I'll be doing lots of media on there. Yeah, so going back to Half the World Away, staggering song. It's the moving on phase of life. I like to compare songs with my own life. And obviously in a few years' time, I'm going to leave, even though my parents probably don't want me to. So obviously moving away, so I would like to leave the city. This old town don't smell too greatly, yeah. And so I can feel the warning signs running around my mind. It's obviously the dangerous part, I'm leaving. I'm like, oh God, is it going to be the right decision for me and the family? But obviously in life we have to progress, we can't stagnate, we have to keep moving on. But Half the World Away, obviously I've seen a lot of covers of the song and all of them are great, but it's not the original. And even when Noel played this live, which is Wizard on the Definitely Maybe Deluxe Edition, which I recommend you guys to listen to as well, because you've got all the songs performed live and acoustically. I absolutely love acoustic songs. And yeah, Half the World Away, definitely a song you guys should listen to. And yeah, and listen to The Master Plan as well, which I will review. The Master Plan is all the brilliant B-sides from Definitely Maybe era to Be Here Now, and yeah, all of them are great. And of course, I Am the Walrus. You could have put this song on the album. Obviously everyone knows it's the Beatles song. I love it, the Beatles version as well, but I do love the Oasis version of I Am the Walrus. Especially this one, which was live at Glasgow Cath House in June 1994. And yeah, obviously, you hear the Beatles version, it's not the most fastest paced song in the world. The lyrics are absolutely bonkers and nonsense. But it's absolutely amazing. Talk about Wizard. Yeah, we'll yell at a custard dripping out a dead dog's eye. It's a very peculiar lyric, which was written by John Lennon at that time. Obviously, John Lennon is a big influence on Wizard of Liam, especially. Also, I love John Lennon as well. But I love I Am the Walrus, even though it's absolutely peculiar. I remember discussing this with people. I have a lot of with people who love, friends who love the Beatles. And some people like Oasis as well. Most of them prefer the Beatles version. I probably do have to say I prefer the Beatles version, but I do like this one. And it's just, as I've said, bonkers lyrics. Was it Salamander priestess climbing up the Eiffel Tower? Absolutely. Oh, it's bonkers. But yeah, If you guys haven't listened to Eye on the Walrus, definitely listen to the Beatles version first before you listen to Oasis. Otherwise, you'll think Oasis wrote it. I remember seeing the other day, people thought, was it Paul, this person wrote Half the World Away? It was Noel Gallagher. Literally, was people literally like, was it with Ellie Goulding literally taking your song, but doing a cover of Was It Your Song by Elton John, another great song. I'll review Elton John if you guys want me to. And yeah, and same, I remember, I thought at the time, I was young back then when it was released, I'm like, oh, did she write this? And then you look into it, and Elton John, and you're like, obviously that version is so much better than Ellie Goulding's. But yeah, this is human life as well, going into us as humans, we like to assume stuff before we actually research into stuff. And definitely with Was It Your Song and Half the World Away, obviously Your Song by Elton John, staggering song, love it. Everyone loves Your Song, and Half the World Away, love it as well. I forgot who covered it. Have to look into who covered it. But definitely listen to covers as well. But people have to remember Half the World Away, written by Noel Gallagher, absolutely staggering. And that is the end of the Cullip Hour podcast. We're not really an hour, but obviously has a nice ring to it. But next time we will be discussing, obviously, Oasis's most best-selling album and most popular album by the commoners, as I would say, What's the Story, Morning Glory. Remember, guys, to leave a like and share it. If you know an Oasis fan, why not share it to them? And then they can put their opinion in the comments. Remember to rank all your comments and put it was in the comment section. Where else would you put it? And remember to DM me at Jacob_Cullip_ for what you want next or you want to discuss about Oasis, because I'm always free to discuss any music, to be honest. And remember, guys, to have a good day and remember to be yourself and you can't be no one else. And I'll see you next time on the Cullip Hour podcast. Cheers.